title of the lesson this morning is the first time I've ever put a title using Greek words. Now, ta ethne, I've never put anything other than English titles. I've taken the Greek words, transliterated them into the English, ta ethne. And I'm going to read from verses that I'm sure that virtually everybody here knows about. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. When he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, in the Greek, it's ta ethne, that is, nations. It's translated in English as nations, but it comes from the Greek word ethne. I'm sure you can see the connection in an English word that ethne would lead to. Ethnic. Ethnic. That's where we get our English word ethnic. So when you think of nations, he's not talking here about, you know, here's a nation with its borders, and here's a nation with its borders, and here's a nation with its borders. That's involved, of course, but he's saying go and teach all ethnic people, all ethnicities, you could say. We're going to talk about this very thing this morning. Mark records a slightly different wording of what we call the Great Commission. Mark says, go ye therefore, Jesus told his disciples, go ye therefore. I was so stuck in Matthew 28. I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 16, because now suddenly I've gotten a brain freeze here, and I've quoted this 1,000 times. But Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. The word for a world there, go into all the world, is cosmos. And the word for creature, you notice he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you think of yourself as a creature? You know, it comes from the word creation. In other words, go into all the world and preach to the entire creation. That's the idea of the Greek word. Ta ethne is used in the Greek 164 times in the New Testament. Cosmos is used 187 times from Mark 16. And katisis, which is creature, is 19 times. Our Lord's words instruct us, they direct us, and they compel us to keep in mind what he wants done. He wants the gospel of Jesus Christ spread abroad to every ethnicity, every person, every group, and so forth. That implies there's a need out there, and there's a need in us. I want to share with you other words that are used for this word ethnic or ta ethne. Sometimes it can be a race, sometimes a nation, sometimes a people, sometimes the Gentiles, the heathen world. People joined by practicing similar customs or common culture, usually referring to unbelieving Gentiles. So what Jesus has in mind is the Word of God, the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the saving message, to go to every person, to go to every race, to go to every ethnicity, to go to every nation, to go to every people. He wants them all to hear this good news. That puts a commission upon us, does it not? Are we doing it? I haven't spoken on this set of verses, Matthew 28, in about 3 years. I mentioned that in the Bible class. So I thought 3 years, you know, it's about time to talk about it again, because I keep a record of all of my verses and titles and so forth. Man has a problem. Hate for others, not like them. Division from others that are not like them. Being afraid of others who are not like them, therefore they make judgments about others. There are many examples in Scripture of the division that mankind can sometimes have with each other. And I don't have time to go through all of them. I want to share a very simple story from Judges chapter 12. You all know the story of Shibboleth? The Gileadites had fought the Ammonites and defeated them. The Ephraimites had wanted to be a part of the battle, but they were excluded from the battle for various reasons that's not important at this point. And Jephthah was the judge at the time. When the battle was over, the Ephraimites wanted to cross back into their land. They wanted passage into their land, their homeland, where they were familiar with, where they came from. And the Gileadites came up with this idea, have the Ephraimites say the word Shibboleth, and if they say it correctly, we'll let them back into their land. Well, an Ephraimite would come across, and they would say Shibboleth, and they would say Sibboleth. They would leave the S-H out of it. They would just say Sibboleth. And as a result of the pronunciation of the Ephraimites saying Sibboleth instead of Shibboleth, 42,000 Ephraimites were put to death. Simply because they didn't pronounce the word as they were supposed to. Think about that. Now there is just one example of the division that arises between peoples for various reasons, a variety of reasons, and I want to talk about this. First, I want to talk about all nations. Point number one, all nations. All nations, ta ethne. We've just read from Matthew 28. We've read from Mark chapter 16. And there are ethnic realities in the world. There are ethnic differences in the world. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to face that, and we need to be conscious of that fact. I'm going to read some things that may surprise you, may challenge you to think. I'm not even asking for answers to what we read. I'm asking for you to think about what these verses of Scripture have to say. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 and following. Now remember, this is Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, who never said or did anything that was sin, never thought anything that was sin. Everything he did was righteous. Everything he did was good. Everything he did was loving. He never sinned in thought, word, or deed. Now I want you to pay close attention to what takes place here. Verse 24, and from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre, and when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician, notice, race, of the Syrophoenician race. The word that is used for race there is not used any other place. It's the one place it's used. So she is designated as a Syrophoenician by race. She's a Gentile. She's not part of the nation of Israel. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now think about that for a moment. This is Jesus, the Son of God, referring to the Syrophoenician woman and those in her area, at least, as a dog. Now that troubles people, and yet there it is in Scripture. And it's something that we have to tackle and deal with. All right? And he was saying to her, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." What does he mean by the children's bread? What he means is the blessing of miraculous healing that he would many times bring upon many people, mostly within the Israelite nation. But she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "Because this answer, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed, the demon having departed. Now, if Jesus had done this with the modern day mainstream media, what would have been done? You can guess what would have been said about Jesus. And yet this woman doesn't run to a lawyer to file suit against him. This woman does not complain to the media, if there was one in that day. This woman wanted one thing. She wanted Jesus's help. She knew that he could do something about her daughter. And he did it based upon her faith. The verses challenge us to think in terms differently about ethnic differences. And it's important for us to think this through, okay? Now turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, the preacher. And Paul has some things that we would consider to be kind of strong words, harsh words. All right? Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and following. He says, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own," and that may be Epimenides, a prophet and a poet of the day, "one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true." Now there's a blanket statement about the island of Crete and the inhabitants of Crete. Shocking words, strong words from the apostle. "This testimony is true. For this cause reprove them severely, that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men, who turn away from the truth." Now what are we looking at here? We're looking at a different perspective on looking at ethnic differences. And Jesus and Paul talk about this in strong language. Remember, this means go in to teach all ethnic groups. One of the things I want to stress here today is that the entire world is guilty before God. Guilty and stand condemned because of sin. The entire world. There's no one better than anybody else. No one. We are all equal at the foot of the cross, all in need of the saving power of Jesus upon that cross. Doesn't matter what ethnic background we come from, what language we speak, what our personal background is, there is an equality there between all of us on the need for Jesus Christ. And that's one of the stresses I think that Jesus is making and that Paul is making. What has happened is, today, we have been forced to take our eye off of the ball. In sports, they say, keep your eye on the ball. If you play golf, keep your eye on the golf ball. If you play volleyball, keep your eye on the volleyball. If you play basketball or football or baseball or whatever sport, keep your eye on the ball. We've got to keep our eye on the ball of what's going on in our world, because we have been distracted somewhat. The word race is rarely used in Scripture, and it is never used as racism or racist. We're not approving of that conduct. We're saying that's sin. sinful and evil when people are divided and hurting each other. But we need to look at this through the biblical lens of things, through the ethnic reality that he is trying to teach us. Jesus is concerned with the lostness of all people. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I'm reminded of Isaiah in Isaiah 5 verse 20 where he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We must get our guidelines from the Word of God and have our perspective molded by what God has to say and not be distracted from things that we should not be distracted from. The fallen creature realities is that all the world, all of us are guilty, and all of us are lost without Jesus. Doesn't matter what our skin color is, what our ethnic background is, what our tribal ID is. The human race is what God is concerned about. The human race is what God is concerned about, no matter what our background is. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. God calls his people a chosen race. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, God says that his people, those who are saved by his Son, who are in his kingdom, in his church, are a chosen race. That's 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. The second thing that we see here, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," all ethnic groups, no matter where they are, who they are, what they are, "teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So there is to be teaching, baptizing, and then more teaching. Teaching, baptizing, and more teaching. Teaching them to observe, that means teaching them to keep, to obey, to follow, to do what he says. When we baptize someone into Christ, the work has not ended, it has just begun. The real work has just begun. There has to be real aggressive teaching of those who have been baptized into Christ. He says, "Teach all nations," teach all ethnic backgrounds, "baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," which means we're baptized into the possession of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we teach people to persuade them to become a follower of Jesus. We baptize them to wash them of sin, to have them saved from sin. And then we teach them some more. And we don't just teach them. Notice what he says. You don't just teach him what he said. You teach people to observe, to do, to follow, to obey what he said. So in our teaching of anybody who's been baptized, we are not just telling them this is what Jesus said. We're teaching them Jesus says do this. He wants you to obey them. Obey him. Okay? God is interested in the human race. The human race. No matter what their skin color, language, ethnic reality, background, where they come from on the earth. He's interested in one thing, the human race. And we're to go and teach all ethnicities. All of them. Now, a one congregation is limited in what it can do. It can't do everything, but it can do something. Okay? Teach to observe and to do all things Jesus has commanded. Always knowing that he is with you, because he says at the end of the Great Commission, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," or to the end of the world. In other words, as we go out and we share the gospel with every ethnic group of people, some people will like, some people will dislike the message, and we can receive opposition. We have to be aware that Jesus will be with us. He will be with us, stand beside us, and care for us in the midst of every situation that we face. The human heart is, well, let me put it this way. The human heart without Jesus is a cesspool. It is filled with sin and corruption and distorted thinking, wrong thinking, ungodly thinking, and evil thinking. The heart is a cesspool of bad stuff. And the only solution to changing that heart is through Jesus and His Word. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth." Truth, the truth of Scripture, must be adhered to in order for our hearts to be changed. Jesus said in John 7:24, He says, "Judge not according to appearances, but make a righteous judgment." And you know what man does? This goes on every day all over the earth. Man makes judgments about others, secret in their heart. It happens in every ethnicity, every one of them. It happens in every nation. It happens in every city, in every county, in every town, in every home. We make judgments. And Jesus said in John 7:24, I want to repeat it, "Judge not according to appearances, but make a right judgment." Make a right judgment. So we want our mind to be influenced by how God wants to look at things, how He wants us to look at things, and not be influenced by the accuser and the slanderer and the distractor and the divider, and that is Satan. The devil is called a murderer and a liar from the beginning. He's an accuser. He's a slanderer. He's a hater. He's a distractor. He's a divider. And for us to have our hearts cleaned up, we must come to Jesus. Must. Can't be done any other way. All of us are in equal need of Jesus and His death. We stand on the same level ground before the cross. Every one of us equal in need. And we want to be saved. We are all guilty before God, and without the saving death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the blood of Christ, we are without hope. Let me read from Acts chapter 10. Verse 29 and then 34. Well, 28 and following. "And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising an objection when I was sent for. And so I ask for what reason you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa, and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all present here before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And opening his mouth, Peter said, and this is beautiful, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." May we be instruments of peace and love and goodness in a divided world. May our hearts be pure. May our hearts not judge according to appearances, but make a righteous judgment, as Jesus said in John 7:24. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we can do that for you. Come now while we stand and sing.
Have you a heart that's weary? Tender.